on Half Time. Mark Robinson.
And you can read about it every Monday. Robbo's Tackle is online. And people love it. They love looking at it. They love reading it, really peering closely at Robbo's Tackle. Check it out, superfooty.com.au. Hello, Robbo.
G'day, Daniel. Bit over the top, but that's okay.
No, it's very, very good every Monday. I go straight to your tackle, and I just can't get enough of it.
Oh, I appreciate it.
It's good. It's going well. How's your weekend?
Oh, terrific.
I've got a vibe.
Really, really, really good.
I've got a vibe from your tackle today.
Yeah.
That you're in, you're almost in giggling schoolboy, how good's footy mode when you wrote this piece today?
Oh, I am. I mean, I wrote up the Bulldogs round two ahead of the Richmond game. I did a piece, interviewed, I spoke to Brad Johnson about, I'd talk to Jono about it. When Johnson and Darcy and West and Rowan Smith and Brad Johnson arrived at the club, that nucleus became champions of the football team. I wrote they haven't sort of seen a group of young people like the group they've got at the moment since that time, which is about 91, 92, 93.
Yep.
And centred on Jake Stringer. You could add Honeychurch, Ling Jong to that group. I only had a group of five. On Saturday, Daniel.
Yes.
I watched that game. I was yelling.
You were yelling.
I was cheering. As Mark Thompson was cheering as a commentator, right? I was cheering for the Dogs.
Yep.
Because I was seeing something on the field that I haven't seen for a long, long time.
What was it?
Which is an underdog team go to Sydney against the bigger bodies, and it was wet.
In big body conditions.
It was wet. Yeah, it was unbelievable what those guys were doing. All of them. You know, to go from Friday night watching that crap on Friday night to Saturday and seeing a team and every team member contributing, and not just contributing, doing everything they could possibly do in the situation that they found themselves on the field.
Yep.
Be it smother, be it tackle, be it a block, be it just getting a hand on a Sydney player. And I was so excited, I decided, and I taped, I IQ all the games.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to write about this. So I went back to the 3-minute mark, and I thought of Any Given Sunday, that speech, which I just love, and everyone
just play by
loves
play.
It. And that's what it was. I didn't put the whole speech in. I just put a couple of lines. This game was just about inch by inch, and we're just not going to lay down. And I went through the videotape. I went through the tape from the 3-minute mark. Stop, rewind. Right, who was doing it? Who was doing stuff around the ball? Mm. And I just noted them all down. And the fact that Liam Piggin got one vote in the Herald Sun votes given by Neil Cordy,
yes,
is a travesty.
Travesty.
Liam Piggin was mighty in that last 3 minutes.
I'm going to need more than that.
No, but he ended up. He had 30, 11 tackles, 10, 12 clearances. I mean, something like that. He had a magnificent game.
He's had a fair game.
But in that last, in the first minute of the last 3 minutes, he laid like three tackles, and there was a ball was in the middle, and he went for a 50-50 ball, and it was a brutal hit. It was. And then everyone just did their role, mate. And I've had people tweet me saying they're crying reading it. And I've done nothing except just put it all together. They're crying as they read it again, Doggy supporters, so proud of the way their team... It's not proud of the way they played. They were just proud of this unflinching commitment they had. When the ball was there, they had to go, no matter what, and they did. And it was tingling.
I'd love to hear from Doggy supporters and what were you going through at that time, 9:49, 11:16. Because without doubt, there's been a lot talked, Robbo, this year about bringing the game back to the fans. That's from headquarters and orchestrating a clubland, trying to orchestrate things where the fans are involved, they're engaged. Fantastic. But in the end, if your team's crap, you're not really that engaged and you don't really love the game at that point in time. Without a doubt, the Western Bulldogs are the story of football in 2015.
Right now, though.
To this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
To this point. And hopefully it continues for the Doggies fans' sakes.
I hope it continues for all our sakes, because it's like Port Adelaide
yep.
from the year before with the style of football they were playing. which was, God, how good is this? Mm. And with what we're seeing with the Dogs, they have got that, they have got that excitement and run from the back half. And Bob Murphy's just fantastic, like just unbelievable. And I'm going to try.
Is he 25 or 35, Bob Murphy?
He's 32, Bob. He.
That's closer to 25 the way he's playing at the moment.
Tell me, you know when we talk about leaders, and who did you go through the leaders that, in your head and yell out the leaders that you played under?
The official ones.
Yeah,
Langford, Dunstall, Crawford, Koutafidis.
Solid.
Solid crew. Solid crew.
Among them, and we're not saying who didn't, who did, but Bob Murphy's became captain of that club at a very difficult time. And he's suddenly been able, with the coach, because the coach talks to the captain, and the captain's a very important cog.
Absolutely.
And those two have been able to bring a club together, a team together. And we've seen so many examples this year where teams aren't together. Friday night.
Yep.
Friday night. Even Essendon yesterday. They were lucky to beat St Kilda. Saturday night. He's got it. He's done it. He's brought them together. It's an amazing feeling. And when you've been amongst it everyone calls it buy-in. Collingwood have got it.
Yeah, absolutely. My word, they have.
Everyone says, you know, what Buckley's selling, the players are buying. What Beveridge is selling, the players are buying.
Yeah, big time.
And then they're going back for more.
And the Robert Murphy factor, I think, is a really nice part of this narrative, the Western Bulldogs narrative this year, because he has been for so long. People have looked at the Bulldogs, and he may not have always been their most brilliant player. He's been a brilliant player, by the way. Or the most brilliant player at that time. But he's always been the heart and soul. And he's always been the... If you thought of the Bulldogs from a passion point of view, you thought of Rob Murphy straight... I always did, anyway. Thought of Bob Murphy straight away. So he was the one that epitomised and understood what the Western Bulldogs means. And he's lived it and breathed it all through his career. And he hasn't been afraid to tell that story. Even when they've been going rubbish, he hasn't been afraid to tell that story and get people to believe in what they stand for. When they were going well, it was easy to do.
Yeah.
And now he's taken charge as the leader of the men, and I think that's not only a masterstroke, but just the right thing for a footy club to give it to a guy who understands that club more than any other.
I've told this story before. Jordan Lewis's mum came up to me in the rooms after last year's grand final, and not so much thanked me, but spoke about how important the year on AFL 360,
yeah, yep,
that Jordan Lewis had, because you can't go on TV and talk principles and ethos and this is what our club stands for and this is what footy is and then go back to your own club and not and you got to live what you say.
Yep.
And part of him talking all year in the setting of 360, there's no doubt that helped develop. Hodgie said it after. Did he say it on air? No, he said it off air. Hodgie was on last week.
He now said it.
Hodgie was on last week, but it's not a bad thing. It's really developed. Jordan Lewis. Bob Murphy has been on 360 for 4 years. He went off it this year. People have listened to Bob for 4 years and have got a real kinship with him.
Yep.
They don't know him, but they when he speaks, they say, God, he's a modest man. He's a passionate man. He's a clear-thinking man. And when he became captain and see the Dogs doing this, it just meshes. It meshes. It fits. It's like a hand in a glove. And people have been tweeting saying, why didn't we make him captain 10 years ago? But he was too young then. This might be just the moment of life has put him together. You know, maybe if they did 12 months ago or 2 years ago, it might not have happened. Maybe Luke Beveridge and Bob Murphy were destined to be captain and coach of the football club. Maybe the Dogs would have been like this under Bob with Brendan McCartney. Who knows? Mm. But what we do know, the combination of Luke Beveridge and Robert Murphy as captain and coach is like oak.
It is golden. It is like oak, strong as oak.
It's strong as oak.
Unless, of course, your Kush is dead. Gavin's in Berwick. G'day, Gav. He's a Doggies fan, I think. Hi, Gav.
Yeah, I am. Thanks, Huff and Robbo. Really passionate. I think it's been just a stroke of genius by either Luke or the committee, the match committee. Even they've taken the shackles off Pickin. He's not
great cool.
He's not just a tagger anymore. Now he's winning his own footy. He's bombing it into the forward line. He's working hard. The easiest thing they could have done when Libba went down was put Matty Boyd into the middle. They didn't do that. They put him off the half-back line. He's been fantastic with Murph as a rebound player. They're just making really smart moves, and it's fantastic to see.
Yeah, last year Pickham was trying. I'll give Brennan McCartney a lot of credit, and he's got to take some credit for the you know,
the
foundation he set, and I'm sure Luke Beveridge would acknowledge that. But with Pickin, I remember last year Pickin playing some run with roles, but also remember Pickin playing small forward last year. And a lot of small forwards work hard, because he does. Keep it in, you know, and he did okay. But how much of a percentage of his career has he been an out-and-out midfielder?
No, not much.
I'd say 2%, 5% max.
Bugger all.
Well, he has this year. His last two games have been enormous.
Yeah, I saw him last week live for the first time, and he was extraordinarily good.
Yeah, like he's
an offensive player.
Yes. He said that. It's a really good call. Give him a prize.
I'm going to give him a prize. He's had a big weekend with his doggies. He's going to have another big day at Ribera's as well. Half time. We're going to give you a $100 voucher to Ribera's restaurant in Port Melbourne or North Melbourne. You'll love it. Gav, thank you for your call. Jake's in Rockbank, another proud Bulldog. G'day, Jake.
Hello, fellas.
How you doing?
Hello, Jake.
I think that, I'm wrapped with the way the Bulldogs are playing, of course, but I think Dalhouse doesn't get enough of a rap. He is tough as hell. He got smashed that many times in that Sydney game, and he never whinges, you never hear anything. He's hardly ever injured. He's just always there. He's tough as nails.
Yeah, he is. He's played a lot more midfield last year, and he's playing midfield part of the rotation with about 12 players they got this week.
Got smacked to bits in that last 2 minutes.
When he went in the flight of, I think it was a Rovat kick. Was it Rovat kick or someone sort of lobbed it forward?
Honeychurch it was.
It was Honeychurch. And he lobbed it forward, and he got caved with running with the flight of the ball.
Yeah, he did.
He got up.
He's a good little player, Lukey Dalhouse. He's evolved.
He's better than
the last
that.
Couple of years.
Yeah, he's better than a good little player.
He's not just arrived now. He's been around for a while now as a serious player.
Yeah, I agree with that.
One of their real engine room players. So Jake's down the line, going to reward all the Doggies fans. Dinner pass for two at the Hof downtown, valued at $100. You'll love it. Just across the road from Eddie Head, 737 Burke Street in the Docklands.
Did you see the Saints yesterday?
No.
I did.
You did?
Yep. Saints feed Dogs next week at Eddie Head.
I saw the score.
An unbelievable game of football. If the Saints can bring the same intensity that they brought yesterday, where they were swarming, absolutely swarming, you know. And when I say that, can you just have the image of just players everywhere, and they were just attacking?
Well, that's what they were against Gold Coast.
Yeah, and they let it down against.
And then Carlton, they just were very disappointing.
Collingwood.
Then Carlton.
That was shocking.
Very disappointing the last couple of weeks. That's why I didn't give them much of a chance on the weekend. But they found their mojo, their groove again.
Yeah, they did. Essendon helps. So they're going to play that sort of game of football when they're just going to go short all the time and allow St Kilda to get behind the ball.
But that's what they've done. I mean, that's how Essendon have played. And who did we speak to last week? Someone from the Bombers talking about that's the way they've played. And then they've owned the ball in the back half, try to draw teams out, then try and find a hole and get through. Clearly, that weekend, Sikora were happy to play them and let them have the ball in that area and not let them get through.
That's a work in progress, that game plan. They get it inside. But the week before, they got it inside 11, 12 times in a row in the second quarter against Collingwood. Couldn't score. Yesterday, they had like 10, 11, 12 again, inside 50s. Can't score. They can't score, mate.
Well, that's an issue.
I'm going to ring Champion Data and get... I'm going to ring Champion Data this afternoon, the great Glenn Luff.
Yes.
He'll be listening, so get it now,
He's
Luffy.
Always listening.
Luffy, inside.
Save yourself a call.
Yeah, and save me 20 cents. Save me a bit of data. We'll never say that again. Save us 20 cents, will we?
No, I don't think so.
For people, the kids out there, we used to pay money in a pay phone. Luffy, Essendon inside 50s and score related to that.
Help a brother
out, will
you?
Be low.
Do something for us, Luffy. Glenn's in Narre Warren. We'll get to him, Doggies discussion before the break, then we'll move on after that. G'day, Glenn.
Hey, g'day, Harp. G'day, Robbo. How are you?
G'day, Glenn.
Well, I'm a Carlton supporter who went through Friday night just wondering why do I bother watching football to being, like you, Robbo, emotionally attached to the Bulldogs because I've got a mate who plays for him and just knowing what he's gone through the last few years. I was shaking, yelling at the TV on Saturday and just so proud of him and what the Dogs did.
Are you going to say your mate's name?
Who's your mate?
No.
Just give us his first name.
I mean, he's part of the journey.
Yeah, look, wrapped to say I know Bordy very well.
Oh, good.
And
Tom
I'm
or Matty?
So proud. Oh, Matty. And just wrapped that you know, depending on what happens over this year or the next few years, that he gets to go through emotions like he's on Saturday was fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, just to see him, like, he just that little dribble off the ground at the end when the siren went, and he ran straight to the runner. You know,
yeah, he didn't go to his teammates. He went to the runner. Great pickup. Absolutely great pickup.
It was a great story.
He's got by. Like, he has been a hunting ball in the midfield for 12 years, Matty Boyd. And they said, you're going to the back half. You know, and how do you take that? As a 30-whatever-old, how do you take it? Well, you're going back.
Fantastic.
And he's going back, and he's accumulating.
It's a great spot across halfback line.
Feeding him. Easton Wood's pickup.
Oh, how good was that?
On a spinning ball.
One-handed
and take.
Back in the traffic.
Was the single most important play of the weekend.
I do think you may be right. I'd be surprised if he didn't get a nomination as a Monday hero. On the back of that, I do want to acknowledge Dane Rampey's performance in the last 2 minutes.
Terrific.
And also, Nathan Rovat, his last 2 minutes were very, very good. That kick from the centre to the,
to the
half-forward flank pocket. Genius young man. Not everyone's happy there, Robbo. Not everyone's happy.
I don't know why, because any good football is good football.
Tony Mill Park says, hey, boys, any other teams playing the weekend? Any other team? Now, Tony, if you can't enjoy what was happening there with the Western Bulldogs up in Sydney and where they've come from and where they are at the moment, if you can't enjoy that, Tone, I think you might need to take your coloured glasses off and just broaden your horizons, brother. That's what we do here on Halftime.
We stick to the big stories.
Now, Rob Murphy, you put out a tweet for him to come on 360 this week.
Bob Murphy. I was so excited. I don't know if you get the understanding that I was pretty excited.
No, I'm getting that vibe that you may have been up and about.
I put my computer on straight away. It was already on, anyway, following all the stats and everything.
Yes.
My life's stuffed. But that's what you do. You follow the game. My computer's on all the time.
That's your job,
mate. It is my job.
So,
and I was so excited. I said, I'm going to write the last 3 minutes. And I was so excited that halfway through writing that, I said, we've got to get Bob back on 360. So I put a tweet out. People, if we get 200 retweets, he can't say no. We finished with that retweet.
Yep.
1,700. And Bob agreed yesterday.
Ah, fantastic.
To come on. Because he didn't want to come on because he's now captain and he wants to do different things, and that's fine.
Yep.
So we're going to have this sort of celebratory night tomorrow night. And Bob will be really humble. He'll want to keep it down, but I just want to, hopefully for a couple of minutes, he just enjoys.
Well, he did say, what did they say after the game? Like, how could you not get caught up in this or something?
No, he said, how can you not get emotional about football? I thought Bob was going to cry. His voice was teetering. It was amazing scenes. It really was.
It was good for footy. The story of the year, without a doubt. Stephen Lillardale wants to talk more about the footy on the weekend. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Daniel. Hi, Mark. Tony from Mill Park. Well, probably wants to hear about Mick Malthouse a little bit more. We haven't had enough of that the last couple of weeks.
There's a clip.
I wanted to talk about Patrick Dangerfield. I'm an Adelaide supporter.
Yep.
I know there's been lots of hysteria about Patrick Dangerfield and where he's going to go. And that's because he's a good player, and I acknowledge that. But I've got to say, I think he's overrated. And only because, I mean, the guy can get the ball, but he just can't kick. Whether it be set shots, whether it be running into goal under no pressure. Three or four times yesterday, he was running out of the centre square when Port Adelaide had been walking it out the other way and hitting chests. And three times, Dangerfield put it out on the full, or nearly on the full, from the centre square under little or no pressure. And like I say, I mean, I know he's a good player and we still want him, but I just think he's more Nick Natanui than Joel Selwood.
I'm
not sure that he's worth it.
No, he's not Nick Natanui.
Oh, I agree with you.
I do. He had 14 clearances yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is a phenomenal performance.
It's a very good day at the office.
But he does butcher the ball. He does.
Yeah. Well, he's not Sean Burgon. He's not Darren Jarman.
No, he's not. But he's below normal, mate. He's below average.
He is.
Well, you've got to have a good look at him.
I'm going to have another look at him.
Yeah, he's below average kick. And some of the problem
below
yesterday
average.
Was Walker, Steve, Walker and Jenkins, they weren't moving. It was like Eddie or Bust in the forward line there for about three quarters. So, and Eddie was doing a lot of leading. He's a great player. No, he's a very, very good player, Dangerfield.
He's a very good player.
One of the best in the competition. But I agree with you, Steve. He butchers the ball too much.
Righto, if you agree with him, then that's why he's going to be rewarded. Thank you, Steve. A dining and drinks voucher to the value of $50 at the Savoy Hotel, Savoy Tavern. It's where you meet them before the footy at Etihad, 677 Bourke Street in Melbourne. Thank you, Steve. I'm going to pay particular attention to that. I've never known him as a bad kick. He's been
a lot of times he's been hanging off. He's got two players hanging off him.
Well, that doesn't help.
No, that doesn't help.
You're breaking out of stoppages 14 times for clearances, and you've got seven blokes around you.
But just yesterday, mate, there was a breakdown between the midfield clearance work and the Adelaide forward line. There was a breakdown.
Yep.
And they were going wide. Port might have forced them wide. You know, I don't know, because you can only see so much on the TV. But it's an interesting call.
Disposal efficiency for Patrick Dangerfield, according to the AFL website at the moment, just the stats that I'm checking, 57.6. Now that's...
The average is 66, I reckon.
Is it? I don't know what the average is.
I think it's 66. Luffy.
So that's below that. It's, well,
that's
would 10
below,
up.
Mate. 57. 57's low.
It's disposed. That's total.
He's low. A lot of time the hard ball gets under pressure in contests and stuff. Mm. But his kicking yesterday was pretty poor.
So I'm not sure he's overrated. Thank you, Steve. Andrew in Wheeler's Hill. Hello, Andrew.
G'day, fellas. If you want to watch football the way it should be played, you go and watch Richmond play. The dribble that they keep panning out to us every week. They play the opposite to what St Kilda and the Bulldogs stand for. That we just, I can't understand how Hardwick gets away with playing that sort of football. And the other thing as well, have a look at not last year's national draft, the year before. If you have a look at the players they picked up in that draft, it was like we didn't actually have a draft pick. We took one 18-year-old and the rest were recycled players. You have a look at that and you'll see where Richmond's problems stem from. And that's part of the recruiting is part of the issue. And
there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt.
Yeah, Hardwick is definitely part of the issue as well. I can't believe the type of players he keeps playing.
Matty Thomas, I mean, just hold on for a second.
Oh, come on. Matt Thomas.
Matt Thomas. They took Matt Thomas. They played a couple of games. I don't think he was in the team by the end. There's no doubt that the drafting has been an issue for Richmond. But seriously,
that has
been spoken about 1,000 times, the Richmond drafting and recruiting. I thought on Saturday, I wrote a column on Saturday half. Mm. I don't know if you agreed or not. When the Tigers are allowed to run, they can be devastating.
Yeah,
right. But when they're not, when they can't, they're not in for the scrap. Okay.
Yep.
On Saturday, the second half of the Geelong Richmond game, Richmond played some devastating football. You know why? It was like tippity footy. You play on. You play on at all costs. Mm. Just handball, and sometimes, mate, they were moving the ball that quick, your eyes couldn't keep up. Look, it was bang, 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 bang. Now, that's high risk of error, but the Cats probably weren't good enough to make sort of expose, get those errors, get the ball from the errors and turnovers and do something about it. They're just not good enough to do that anymore.
Yep.
In the past, they would have wiped Richmond by 20 goals.
But it seems, and they were talking about this, KB and...
Yeah, I heard KB
Plough
this morning.
And, Martin Blake were talking about this morning, that it gets to that point in a game or a season like it did last year when there's not much to lose, so they just play. And it's free-flowing, it's quick, it's really dynamic, and they play really
Why can't they do
footy.
That from the start?
I don't know. I don't know. That's what it seems from outside. I'm sure they try and execute that clearly because they know it works. That's the really good plan that works. I'm sure they try and do that most weeks. I don't know how it gets to a point where they can't do it to the extent that it breaks down their whole system.
Yeah. One major problem for Richmond, which I see, and there's probably a lot of issues, and there are. When Damien Hardwick four years ago, and said, right, we are not going to play Jacket full forward. We're going to move him out because we want more goal kickers. Mm. It's worked at Hawthorn. No worries. That has not worked at Richmond. You know why? Because they haven't had other consistent goal kickers. When Franklin went out at Hawthorn, they still had Bruce and Ruffy and Hale was going down there. Gunston arrived and Cyril was running around and, you know, they had other players to kick goals.
Yeah.
Jack Riewoldt tries his guts out every week. Every week he plays and he gets criticised. If they all put in like Jack, it would be a different story. Mm. But Jack's roaming now, roaming everywhere.
And if I was playing against Jack, I'd be happy with that. Because I know there's not too many other forward potent targets.
There's none. There's just not enough
I'm happy
who
with
put
that
pressure
opposition coach
to kick goals. It's a good plan, But they haven't got the talent to execute it. So what they've probably got to do is go back to their, let's play on. There was a rule on Saturday after halftime is you are not allowed to go back on the mark.
Is that true?
Well, it had to be. I'll tell you why. Get the game out, mate, and watch it. They took the ball and just ran or handballed to the nearest guy running.
Robbo is in the house. 2:40 right of the Herald Sun. Of course, a big part of our SEN footy team as well. Has been for a long time. Hopefully, it will be for many more years to come.
Gun just dropped in to say hello.
I've been here for a while.
No, come on.
Oh, sorry.
There's guns and there's some guns.
The big ox.
The big ox.
The big ox.
He was a...
You love Oxy. Oh, he's your man.
He's my great mate, but I didn't know him when he was... I didn't know him in 94.
He was wearing shoelaces on his heads.
When he was jumping on people's heads and he took a ball out of a ruck situation on the wing at the MCG in front of the members and took it out of the ruck, turned around and took four bounces and kicked a goal.
Show off.
And he's 6 foot... Four at about 110 kilograms.
Just a show off, mate. Still showing off.
Not many big guys. I remember.
Look at him out there.
I know I say this a lot. I remember when Carey was the number one, no doubt. But this young fella called David Schwartz at Melbourne, he was starting to do some Carey stuff.
Second place, first loser for mine. Pete's in Craigieburn. G'day, Pete.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Good pal.
Robbo, a couple of weeks ago, you interviewed Stephen Trigg, and he put us
on crunch time. Yep, on crunch time, Saturday morning.
And he gave us a spiel that we need to be united and stuff like that. I saw 24 blokes on Friday that don't know what their futures hold, don't know who they're playing for. And then I see Edelston in the coach's box. How are you going to attract members when you start selling that garbage?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Isn't it the Edelston in the box? He paid for it. He's supposed to be bankrupt in America.
It's not uncommon.
People buy places in the coach's box. At all coaches' boxes.
Positioning was interesting.
The positioning was... We're passing condemnation on Edelston when we say he shouldn't have been in the...
I have no problem with the doctor being there. Absolutely not.
You like him behind Mick?
Because it's not what people want. This is a whole perception thing.
No doubt it's a perception thing.
They're not exactly Fremantle at the minute, the Mighty Carlton Footy Club. They're paddling a bit. Mm-hmm. It's about perception, and it's okay for him to sit in the box, but you don't want him in shot. You don't need the doctor in shot. And if you see him in shot early, hey, Doc, can we just get you over this side so we get one of our coaches there? Just
no doubt about that.
Set up. I don't mind him being there.
It was a bad look. It was.
It was a bad look. It was.
I don't know him that well, and good luck to him. He's with that woman, Gordon Gekko.
Gordon is involved, I believe.
But yeah, I was looking there. I'm not an ageist. I said Mick would coach to his 90 if he had a club.
It's got nothing to do with age or this.
I just looked at the box and there's Mick and Jeffrey Edelston. That's what I saw.
It was just, he didn't need to be in shot. Corporates have been doing that for a long time, getting in the coaches' boxes with senior coaches. And I think Mick said yesterday, I read a comment saying that for every home game at the G, they've got someone in there for the year. So there's always going to be someone there for that game on Friday night. And I have no trouble with that. But I don't think if you are the football club or managing the affairs of the football club, you would need that person in shot.
Right. That's good question. I need to bring up something. First thing I'm going to say, the criticism aimed at you and Luke Ball and others in the media who can't pass comment on MRP matters, that is the biggest non-story in football.
People have their stories.
There's enough people commenting. I don't really care, I'll be honest, and you don't care what I... Say, Hodge, you can ask me, what's Hodgie going to get?
Right? What's Hodgie going to get? Well, you told me in the tackle today. What'd you say?
I can give my opinion. It doesn't matter if they hear my opinion or hear your opinion, but suddenly you're like, not a good person. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes,
it's a non-story.
People get a bit high and mighty about these type of things. That's okay. That's all right. If that's the biggest issue in footy, I reckon we're going okay.
Oh, I agree. Hodgie, I tell you what I think's worse.
I think people need to remember, I'm not on the MRP. We just get that straight. I'm just on the tribunal rotating panel.
Right.
That's what I'm on.
Yeah, you're on the tribunal rotating panel.
Just to get that clear.
I don't know, and we'll find out today whether Hodge or Lewis go straight to the tribunal. Hodge is a bigger chance than...
Well, Lewis. He was reported on the day, so we know that there will be... That will be at least...
Lewis High.
The question will be Force, won't
Force.
It?
Force. Force will be... The Force was strong. That'd be Max.
Max?
Yep.
Well, the time, Max, you go straight to.
Oh, do you? For Louis? Mm. I called it a shit act on Twitter on Saturday, and the more I think about it, and I know Jordan pretty well, and I like him a lot, but that was not a great act.
Yeah, because
it was late. I've seen these AFL players do amazing things, so I don't accept that when someone misses the ball by 2 feet and hits someone in the head, I can't accept that. He was late. He was high. It hurt him.
Was it intentional?
No.
Or was it careless?
It was careless. I called it reckless, but they changed it.
According to the table, he gets the 3.
I think it was careless. Yeah. And I get 3 and
3-2.
You take it to 2. That's what I've written today.
If that's what was to be the situation, careless high and highs, 3-2.
It was just a crap act. Anyway, if that happens in football, it's a tough game. It's a tough game.
What about
the Hodge one? Now, the Hodge one's different. Hodgie, I think's in more trouble. Because Hodgie intentionally...
Well, that's a key word right there.
That is. Hodgie intentionally threw his arm. Did he think it was going to hit him in the head? Maybe not, but he did it intentionally. I didn't hit him in the point of the elbow, and Hodgie should be absolutely thankful that he didn't. His arm didn't come around any further and get him with the point of the elbow. He got him with the forearm to the elbow, just along that line.
Yep.
And it smacked into Swallow's head. So it's deliberate. It's high. Swallow went down. The only thing we have to decide there is the impact. Was it? Well, I don't know. What's the worst?
Well, severe is the worst.
Severe. Was it severe? No, it wasn't severe.
Severe, high, medium.
It was high.
If it's high, intentional.
If it's high,
He's out tomorrow night. He'll be busy.
Hodgie. Well, I think he should be.
If that's the grading from the MRP, I
think
we'll
you can't talk, but I think most people think it was high, and we're judging on the impact.
Well, I don't get the impact to call it. Something I call to
oh, isn't impact. It? So, no, we're having a good discussion about it now. So, it was just funny. Everything's a good look and everything's a bad look. The Dogs are everything at the moment is a good look. Everything about the Hawks at the moment is not a good look. They played some absolutely fantastic football on Saturday night, and Jack Gunston, you were a star. But we've had Clarkson, what happened on last week, and then we had Hodgie, what happened this, and then we had
Lewis and Vice Captain.
The two gunslingers, mate. It's like the two gunslingers walked out of the saloon and said, right, who did that?
Robbo's with us on halftime every Monday, 1 till 2. Always get the Chief Footy right on the Herald Sun with us. Big part of OSN new footy team.
Great text has come in.
Yes.
And you were coaching, so you didn't see it. Alex Rance on Saturday threw the ball from about 2 feet away as hard as he could into
Joel Selwood,
who was on his knees and knocked him over.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's allowed, and I think Alex Rance should be penalised for that.
I don't know what it comes under.
That's bringing good.
What is it?
Unduly rough play?
Well, that would be unduly.
I think Alex Rance should pay a penalty for that. You know why? Because you can't do that. You can't do that and expect nothing to happen to you.
It's an odd thing to do. I can't recall that happening for many, many years.
I can't recall
great,
that ever.
Great 80s videos.
Who was that? When a brawl starts and someone throws the ball at the guy and runs in.
Yeah,
you keep talking, I'll think of it.
Well, let's get to Gary in Airport West while you're thinking. G'day, Gaz.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I want to talk about Richmond because here we go again, time after time.
Yes.
Now, I'm trying to puzzle this together. We take a look at round one. We beat Carlton, which a team is struggling. Mm-hmm. Round two, we lost against Footscray, was it?
Yes, it was. The Western Bulldogs, yes.
Right, which is a team we should have beaten.
Well, not necessarily.
We should have. We've got all good. Well, we're supposed to have good old players in. Then we go to Melbourne, another team that we should have beaten.
No. Right?
Well, you've got Brisbane in Brisbane in round three.
That's another team that is struggling. Then we should have beaten Melbourne.
No, you shouldn't have. Why are you keep saying that for, Gary?
What? Because we're supposedly having good players that's supposed to be having a good year this year.
No, they're not having a good year this year.
No, they're having a rubbish year, Gaz.
Sorry, Gary. I admire you for being supportive of your team and really confident in their ability. I mean, it's like when Damien Hardwick said, this team can beat anyone. A mate of mine said, don't worry about anyone, just beat someone.
That's funny from your
mind. I thought it was really funny.
That's very good.
But it's right. The confidence at Richmond isn't matched by the confidence outside of Richmond. Not on the performances we've seen this year.
They've been woeful.
Woeful. Brett Deledio, to me, is a better player not playing, because when he doesn't play, they miss him so much.
They cannot win. Thanks, Gaz. We don't quite agree on the Tigers' performance or what they should have been doing. They've been ordinary, and they've shown that so far this year. Other teams have been better. Steve's in Doncaster. We'll get to him before the break. G'day, Steve.
G'day, boys. Robbo, love your passion for the sport. Love watching you. Love listening to you, and love some of the stuff that you write. I want you to ask Buck two questions tonight. Number one, can you sit in the coach's box and see what he's doing? And number two, the guys that he's gotten rid of over the last couple of years, has that given him the freedom to allow other people, to allow other blokes in the team to play team football, and given him the sort of the space to do what he needs to do within the club? Because it just seems that all those guys are all playing for Bucks.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I'd love to sit in the coaching box with Nathan Buckley, and I will ask him tonight.
So would I. I'll
come with you. I would love it, and I'm absolutely pretty sure you'll say no. And then I'll beg, and then he'll still say no.
Just say no, get stuffed.
But it happens everywhere. Like, just for example, just before I go, Dogs, Griffin gone, Libba gone, we see Ling John, we see Johansson. They get an opportunity and play. Collingwood, Jack Crisp, get an opportunity. Adam Oxley, get an opportunity.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's all it's about.
Thank you, Robbo.